Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. It can be found on page 1692 in your pew Bibles. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked each other, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said they had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised the voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens from above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood, and before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who hears the name of the Lord, or who calls on the name of the Lord, will be saved." The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, as we meditate on your word and hear your word proclaimed, open up our eyes, open up our minds, and let us hear what the Spirit is saying to us today. Amen. This is a little... I didn't forget you.
Okay.
This is a little bit... you can come on, but I was talking to Megan about how I wanted you to hear this one hymn that's not in our hymnal. And she said, "Oh, I'll sing it for you." But I didn't have the music, so she's going to try to read it off this thing. I wanted you to hear this hymn, and Megan's going to sing it for you.
Holy Spirit, come with power, breathe into our aching night. We expect you this glad hour, waiting for your strength and light. We are fearful, we are ailing, we are weak and selfish too. Break upon your congregation, give us vigor, life anew. Holy Spirit, come with fire, burn us with your presence new. Let us as one mighty choir sing our hymn of praise to you. Burn away our wasted sadness and inflame us with your love. Burst upon your congregation, give us gladness from above. Holy Spirit, bring your message, burn and breathe each word anew. Deep into our tired living, till we strive your work to do. Teach us love and trusting kindness, lend our hands to those who hurt. Breathe upon your congregation and inspire us with your word.
Thank you, Megan. I became obsessed with that hymn a few years ago. My obsession with it started in the weirdest place. At my first charge, I would usually preach in one congregation, but occasionally I'd preach at another congregation. Now, the church that I normally served was a traditional service, but the place I would go occasionally was a contemporary service. And so it was extremely weird that a very old hymn that I never heard before was where I discovered it at a contemporary service, "Come Thou Fount with Every Blessing." And I heard it at this contemporary service, and I fell in love with that hymn. I love it when we sing it here on Sunday mornings. And once I had words like Ebenezer explained to me, because it's the language is a little bit archaic, it just was a great hymn. Now, when I become obsessed with something, especially music, I need to listen to it. And then I need to listen to it 30, 40 times. Megan can tell you how I listen to things ad nauseum, at least to her, not to me. So I need to find this song so I can listen to it. So I was looking around, and I found a CD by Brent Hall, who did a CD full of hymns from the Brethren Hymnal. It's called Hymns and Songs of the Brethren, which then I discovered how great that hymnal is, but that's a whole other story. But as I was listening to his hymns on this CD, I heard Holy Spirit Come with Power, and I became obsessed with it. And I said, I need to figure out how we can sing this in church. And normally, it would be pretty easy. You just find whoever licenses that out, and you get a license for it. No one licenses it out. So I eventually found the name of the author and the copyright, and I found out her address, and I wrote her a letter and asked her really nicely if she'd let us sing it. And she sent a really nice letter and even called me and said, oh yeah, you can use it. And it's just a hymn that I've fallen in love with and have encouraged congregations to sing. And every time we come to Pentecost, because it was a hymn written for Pentecost, she felt like there weren't really that many great Pentecost hymns, so she wrote a Pentecost hymn for Pentecost Sunday. Her husband is a pastor, retired, and I hear it, and it's exciting. But it often reminds me, though, of how different our normal Sunday morning experience is than an average Sunday. That very first Pentecost, the Spirit did come upon them with power, and they were excited, and there was energy. And in that hymn, we're praying for the Spirit to come and liven us and give us fire and life anew. And yet, on most Sunday mornings, that's just not what happens. We're not all that excited. And we don't necessarily expect the Holy Spirit to actually come and move us and burn away our sadness and bring gladness. Most Sunday mornings, I mean, we're happy to be here. We're glad to see our friends and family. We're happy when we get to sing hymns that we love to sing. But I don't think we expect the Holy Spirit to just come upon us, most of us, and that we don't necessarily expect an encounter with the living God, even when we sing a hymn like that or some other Pentecost hymn. And I'm not, like, picking on our congregation particularly. I've been going to United Methodist churches a long time, and I've never been in a United Methodist church where I walked in and you just felt a palpable sense that people were expecting the Holy Spirit to come. I think as United Methodists, we just kind of struggle with that. And when we see churches like Pentecostal churches where people do expect the Spirit to come every Sunday, we just sometimes get a little weirded out by that. In fact, as United Methodists, we've studied this issue. The General Board of Discipleship did a study a few years ago to see, well, what do we expect when we come to worship? And one of the questions that they asked laity and clergy was, do you expect an encounter with the living God in worship? And 72% of the respondents gave some kind of response that could be categorized as no. Out of that no, 53% of them didn't even know what that question meant or understood what that question meant. 13% said we would like to be able to expect an encounter with the living God. And only 11% said, yeah, I come to worship on Sunday morning expecting an encounter with the living God. And I think it's a contrast from the Pentecost story to what normally happens on Sunday morning. When you read the Pentecost story in chapter 2 without reading chapter 1 first, you might get the wrong impression. You might think that for some reason the disciples were all gathered together, and then out of nowhere, the Holy Spirit comes down on them, and it just surprises them, and then they go out speaking in many different tongues. But if you read Acts chapter 1, you realize that this didn't come unexpectedly. Jesus promised that the gift of the Spirit would be with them. And they waited for the gift of the Spirit. Acts tells us that they would come together and pray. often expectant and waiting for the gift of the Spirit. And it's very different, I think, for most of us. How many of us pray during the week and pray before church on Sunday morning that the Spirit might encounter us in worship, or that we might have an encounter with the living God? They came expecting an encounter with the Holy Spirit. What do we come expecting on Sunday morning? And what I found in life is that oftentimes our expectations are met. In fact, that's the point of my sermon today. We often get what we expect. And so we often come to church on Sunday morning not necessarily expecting to encounter God. And we most often don't encounter God on Sunday morning worship. But on that very first Pentecost, they were expecting God to pour out God's Spirit on them. They were waiting for it. They were praying for it. They were gathering together, hoping for it. And on that Pentecost, they experienced it. And we have to ask ourselves, what are our expectations when we come to worship? Do we expect an encounter with the living God? And I think it goes back to what I preached on in January about passionate worship, that when you want passionate worship, you have to expect that worship's going to be passionate. You have to invest yourselves in it. And one of the ways you invest yourself in worship is praying for worship, praying that God's Spirit's going to encounter people in worship, that God's going to be moving amongst us in worship. Now, I want to be very clear. God can do anything. And God can use anyone. You read throughout the Bible, and for those of you who have been reading the Bible through the year, you'll see that oftentimes people didn't expect God to use them. They didn't expect to encounter God. And sometimes people are used by God and they don't even realize it, whether it's Pharaoh or the Egyptians. There's just so many different examples of people being used by God, but they didn't necessarily want to be used by God. So the Spirit can come upon us whether we want it or not. God can use us whether we want it or not. However, I do often think in terms of the Spirit, we often get what we expect. And that if we don't expect God to be in our midst, if we don't expect to encounter the Spirit, then we're not open to how the Spirit might be able to come into us. And we don't see how the Spirit then is moving in our lives. I found that expectations shape my experience of the world. When I expect something to be good, I oftentimes start looking for ways that it is good so that I can justify my expectation that something is good. And when I expect something's going to be bad, I get my list out and I start making a list of all the different ways whatever I'm expecting to be bad is bad. And when I expect someone to be nice to me, then I that shapes the way I interact with that person, and I start looking for how they're going to be nice to me, even if maybe they're not. And when I expect someone to be mean to me, I'm just looking for that slightest insult, that slightest action that maybe is a sign that they aren't going to be nice to me. We've been having conversations as United Methodists we had it at annual conference, I had it at the Bishop's Retreat, about how oftentimes our expectations in conversations, that we have this downward spiral. We expect things to be bad, and we just start talking about how it's going to get worse and worse and worse, and our conversation continues to just spiral downward, that we just expect everything to be terrible. We might even expect it to be bad when we began, and we expect it to be horrible by the time we're done. And that's not a helpful way of experiencing the world, and that's not a helpful way of being the body of Christ. That perhaps we need to expect that God might use us and be with us and have expectations of hope and possibility, and that our conversations can't spiral downward to the lowest common denominator, but could be conversations and expectations that God is in our midst and God would use us. In terms of worship, that means expecting that God will encounter us in worship, that the Spirit will be moving, that we should come to worship excited that God might encounter us in worship and expect that God will. We had Adam Hamilton at annual conference this year, and he's a pastor of the Church of the Resurrection, one of the largest United Methodist churches in our country, and he goes around the country talking about leadership. And he talks about what a good sermon is. And if you ever want to hear a good sermon, listen to Adam Hamilton preach. You can watch it online. You can listen to one of his podcasts of his sermons. He's just an incredible preacher. I don't want to get too far off on a sidetrack, but he can even take a sermon on manure and make it fascinating. It was incredibly fascinating and funny, too. But at any rate, he said one of the hallmarks of a good sermon is to call people to action. Let them know what you expect them to do at the end of the sermon so that people can go out and do it. And I was thinking about it, that I do have expectations, but I don't always clearly state what my expectations are. So I thought for this Pentecost Sunday that I could clearly state what I expect us to do when we leave worship. Starting today and every day, let's pray that we'll have a living encounter with God on Sunday morning. Let's pray that the Spirit will come amongst us in the midst of us and empower us then to go out into the world and to share the good news. If we want to thrive as a congregation, we need the Spirit. And in particularly in two ways. First, we need to be Spirit-molded people. We need to be living out the fruits of the Spirit. And you're going to notice I'm going to read them off to you. I haven't memorized them, and every translation is different. But we need to show this, the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That if we want to share the good news, we need to be different than the world around us. We need to live differently than the world around us. Our relationship with Jesus should change us and should make us different. And His Spirit should be molding us and shaping us so that when people see us, they see something different than everyone they see around us. And we need to be Spirit-driven people. That not only do we need to be molded and shaped by the Spirit, but we need to be driven by the Spirit. That when you look at the lesson in Pentecost, the Spirit gives them visions and dreams and empowers them to go out into the world to share the good news of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. We need the Spirit to give us dreams, to give us visions, to share with us how we're being called to go out into the world to share the good news. As we go forth, I just invite us every day to pray for worship and particularly pray that the Holy Spirit will come to us in worship and that we might encounter the living God in worship. Amen.